you know, it's just, you know, it, you know, I'm getting older, and I really would like to see something similar to the early Pearl years again. I don't mean not necessarily all the hullabaloo and everything that went on with it, but I'm talking about achievement on the court. Achievement on the court.
I want the
hullabaloo. I'd love to have the, you know, the hot sauce as well.
I want the hullabaloo. The hullabaloo. The hullabaloo. But the guy makes Keith mad. I don't make him mad.
I just, you know, I watch them because they're just liable to roll out the next game anytime and pull off something like they've done several times this year. I just don't, I don't know how this team can have so many up and down players. I mean, Hubs had 20 the other night. What did he score today?
Hubsy today in today's game had 2 points.
Yeah.
He was rather engaged in today's game.
That's two more than his effort deserves.
Yes. He was very engaged. He was into it today now.
Well, he, 2 games ago, I think 2 is what he also scored.
He looks like, literally like he's got narcolepsy, standing up over there on the bench. Well, actually, he's not standing half the time. He looks like he's getting ready to fall asleep.
Arkansas is about as bad. I mean, after they drilled our eyes out, well, what'd they do? They went on the road and got their eyes pounded.
But that's it. They can't play on the road. But that barn they have, it's an impossible place to play. Even when they were bad, it was... And they're okay. They're average, but... Don, thank you.
All right, buddy.
I've just been told, by the way, Keith, you'll be glad to know this. You will feel like a better man. Kent Williams is a... This is from CC Hoops, who's a sicko and who needs his head checked. Is it SIU Edwardsville, John Harris, a.k.a. Chris Rock, to Whoopi Gold's gym? We had Whoopi Gold's gym and Chris Rock at one time. With Konzo Martin here, but he is an assistant coach to John Harris at something called SIU Edwardsville. What does SIU stand for?
Southern Illinois University.
Edwardsville. Is there two of them?
Yeah, because the main one, the Salukis, just plain Southern Illinois, is in Carbondale.
Carbondale. My dad had a World War II buddy that taught there. I knew that. SIU Edwardsville team nickname is, should I ask Brian Hartman?
That one I don't know. I do know, I'm pretty sure they're in the OVC. I think they were one of the teams when the OVC added about 50 teams. I think they were one of them.
Let's go back to the phones.
Oh, this is a raucous crowd at Auburn.
Oh, come on. Weekends were made for Auburn hoops. I mean, who wouldn't be there? Who wouldn't be there?
What is Auburn? What the hell else are you going to do?
That's a good point. Go outside and, I don't know, roll a bale of hay.
This game might get Kevin Stallings fired.
He's out of time. He's another one. Let's go to the phones.
They lose this game. I think there's a pretty good chance Stallings will not be the coach there next year.
He's a nice man. I'm hearing the buyout down in Memphis for your guy is so obscene that they're not going to move on him. And plus,
probably save him. Yeah, that's probably what's going to save him. What's going to save Travis Ford?
And the big time boosters like him too. He's got a couple people that are in his corner, even though they've basically disappeared. They have disappeared from the radar.
Well, the main money there is always going to be Fred Smith, and Fred Smith, frankly, really doesn't give much of a damn about basketball. So,
back to the phones we go. Next call on your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Tony Basilio ensconced in the Raymere studio. Keith Hatfield on assignment, parts unknown. Hello to our next caller.
Do I have a lifeline? May I have a lifeline?
You have a lifeline. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, thank you very little. I mean, very much.
Yes.
Man, I want to stay positive. I mean, this team can, do what we think they're not going to do and do, you know what I'm trying to say. We thought we were going to win today. Hands down, just like Carolina Panthers, hands down, we're going to take care of business in Super Bowl 50.
Business. Business. Taking care of business.
But, we'll go to Lexington and win, just like my freaking Lady Vols will win against, Don Staley when they come into Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. So, you know, it'll all be good. I like our freshman play. I like Alexander. I like Shabari Phillips. Schofield carried us early on as a freshman. Now he's disappeared, but I mean, we were right there today. I mean, to walk out there with the win, but we didn't get it, but I still feel I got a lot of ups on down the road, man. I got some ups, man. Even though it was what I wanted to say from the leadoff, other than my apology for dropping the you-know-what bombs. But, this was a Big 12 reunion for Barnes, you know. We're back on the other side of the Mississippi.
That's a good point.
It's nowhere in freaking orange.
It's
the Big 12.
That's a good point. TR, I didn't notice this today. Did he have orange on? Any orange?
Nothing. Sergeant Schultz sees nothing.
Technically, TR, I think that's nutting.
You said it, I did.
I'm sorry. I think that's the Clinton pronunciation. But when the broken German pronunciation is nothing. I see nothing. Nothing.
But, getting back to the positive, I do feel like, man.
We're winning Thursday.
We can make some hay. And I'm not giving up hope that we cannot go on a neutral court in our freaking state and win this tournament, postseason conference tournament. Do you feel me? Or you wanna play some jams going out?
Carlin, feel a me. I don't know if I feel a you, TR, on that one. I don't know if I feel.
I do. We're wide open, man. This team can explode and get on a run and go into the tournament with some wind in their sails, man.
Hatfield, are you feeling him?
I mean, Wade Houston got a team to the SEC tournament finals. That was worth.
There you go, Hatfield. He's back. Team Brown, I'm back. Get up off of that thing and dance. You feel better.
Yeah. TR, I needed you today, man.
Oh, I needed you to take me back, man, because I deserve to be, you know, on the cattle call list of banned.
TR, your family.
Paul Cartney, banned on the run. And weed.
B-A-N-N-E-D, banned on the run. TR, your family, brother. I mean, I can't look. I can do without the cattle call. I can't do without you, TR. I just can't do it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I mean, you're a guilty pleasure. Who threatens to kill me? Who threatens me?
I appreciate it. It goes hand in hand, dude.
You've threatened.
Finally getting down on the strip the other day, man. I mean, I listened to your shows down on the Cumberland Avenue strip, and it was jumping on a midday with Cinco in the house. But, yeah, man. We're gonna survive this season, man.
Gloria Gaynor, brother. Gloria Gaynor, I will survive.
That's right. I just wish, Ronnie, I mean, not Ronnie Reese, but Derek Reese.
That's close.
He needs a damn launch of three every now and then. I thought Barnes was going to be lax on him, you know, pulling the trigger, but he gets nothing, man. I mean, he don't need to be out there if he's playing timid that he's not going to pull up. And I mean, if Schofield's going to get his four freaking three attempts from downtown.
Keith, do you
then Ronnie,
want...
I mean, Derek freaking Reese not getting an attempt.
I'd rather see Jack Reese shooting three balls. Do you want Hatfield to see Derek Reese or Ronnie Reese, for that matter, shooting three balls?
I'd rather see Reese.
Well, I just want Hatfield and Baby Boy Hart to have a, you know, big happy Valentine's Day. I mean, maybe they can bump into each other, you know. When I look at Rick Barnes, I think of freaking Dave Hart. That's how bad it is. That's how bad. But at least Davey Boy Hart would have worn some orange if he was there today in Missouri, Columbia, Missouri. But not Ricky Boy, Big 12 reunion Hart. I mean, Barnes. Go Big Orange!
Hatfield, after getting cussed out by him, I think two programs in a row, did you think I would take him back?
I've never known you to be much of a grudge holder, Tony.
Well,
the only people I ever remember you banning are ratings killers.
Pump your deal one more time. That was so next.
Well, Thursday night at Crown and Goose, we'll be in there to watch the Tennessee Kentucky game. Probably have we'll throw a little something. It'll be an interesting evening.
Can I get TR down there?
TR wants to come. He's more than welcome. I got no heat with TR. I think TR's got some heat with me. I got no heat with TR.
You'd put your arm around him and welcome him.
I don't know why I wouldn't. He's been at our functions before.
He likes you.
I got no problem with TR. I just don't necessarily enjoy some of the things he enjoys, and I think that's a source of a little bit of friction, but I don't have any problem with TR.
Specifically, my Lady Vols. Who do we have tomorrow in Lady Vol basketball, Keith?
Well, they play Monday night against South Carolina here.
Oh, Marona May. You mean Dave Hart's athletic program has Monday night South Carolina, Thursday night Kentucky,
Saturday LSU.
He's liable, but before the next time.
Doesn't the baseball team starts this week?
Oh, Marona May. Before the next time he gets on a winning streak, he might have three more lawsuits on his hand.
Yeah, this week promises. This may not be a very good week. The men will have to play their best game of the year to get out of there with a win next week. And
what's Dave Hart do for a feel good this week? Is he bully an underling? Does he find somebody over there to just pick on and bully?
I assume the softball team did okay yesterday or is doing okay this weekend, so I'm sure he'll point to that.
Softball team. Wow. Hatfield, I love you like a brother, and that's how it's got to stay. Appreciate you.
No problem, Tony. Enjoyed it. Certainly didn't enjoy the 2 hours I wasted watching the game, but.
Good point. Thank you,
Brian. Well, let's be honest. This season's been about what we all thought.
It's about fellowship after the game. That's what this season's
Absolutely.
About. And that's what we're doing. And I'll never apologize for that. Never.
They've done enough. I mean, you beat South Carolina, you beat Florida, you beat Kentucky. You stay undefeated at home against Bruce Pearl. I mean, it hasn't been. I mean, this isn't Wade Houston's last season. Bad.
No, we've seen worse, unfortunately.
Oh no. Pretty much every year under Houston. Well, no, not every year under Houston, but three of the five were this bad.
I just been told that Hart will be out monitoring the grass this week in Neyland Stadium.
Well, that's good. That's something he can handle. I mean, that strikes me as about his speed.
He needs to get Lynn Magruder over there. He knew how to really cultivate in Knoxville grass. Thank you, Hatfield.
Absolutely. Don't have a good one.
You're the man. Hatfield, you can check him out tonight. He'll be at a couple haunts in downtown Knoxville. Meanwhile, I'm going to be playing some music for you. Let's see, it's 6:18 right now. What time do you think I should go on? I want to ask a Periscoper out there to tell me, what do y'all think? What time do you think I should start? Or a Twitterer. Because I'm going to play some good stuff tonight. I've got some old... Yeah, Dave Hart will be using heat lamps. Reese Witherspoon shooting three balls at off guard in a pair of short shorts. TC says best idea he's heard all year. Memphis is averaging 5,800 a game. It's pretty good, 5,800 a game. You know, we still get like 11, 12,000 night in and night out here. It's incredible, man, the crowd we have. Okay, so tonight what I'm going to do is grab your honey. Pull her close to the app. 8:30 Eastern time, maybe. 8:30 Eastern. I'm gonna come on. I'm gonna play some jazz. I'm gonna play some pop stuff. Real nice love songs. Old soul jams. All guitar. Some of them I've worked up, and a few I've really practiced, and some I'm just gonna like get a songbook out and just play, and we're just gonna have fun. And if you are so inclined, do that. If you're hanging out tonight, it'll be my little Valentine for me to you. My way of saying thank you. And I love you. I do want to say I was fooling around with some stuff last night and got a couple of really old like soul tunes. Some Philly stuff. I'm going to play some Philly stuff for you tonight. Like some old Delphonics. Some old Lionel Richie Commodore stuff. Some old Bee Gees stuff. And then a bunch of jazzy jazz as well. Real pretty stuff. Some great arrangements. So until we meet again, I want to thank my friends at Smartway, also your Garza Law Firm, for providing the fun, the thrills, the screams, and all the good times today. Thank you, Keith Hatfield, for being a good sport. To our basketball Vols, why bother? Why bother? But we still love you anyway. And to Rick Barnes... No one's ever going to say this to you, Coach. Ever tried Sanka? No one's ever going to say that to you. But until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, I'm wishing you a wonderful evening. And let's hear a little something about Aretha Franklin. Okay. And I can't. By the way, this guy I'm talking to right here is a co-writer of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing. And how do I know that? Because last night I was going through some old songbooks, and David Ritz, who I'm getting ready to talk to, is a co-author of Sexual Healing. And he was also very prominent in the Queen of Soul's life. And so this is a part and parcel of the type of guest that I talk to on In the Paint, Book Corner. In the Paint airs Tuesday nights on Foxville 43, 6:30 p.m. Book Corner is a side of my website, or if you get the app, Tony Basilio Radio Show app, you'll go back again. I'm getting ready to, what's the term? Post four new ones? Is it four? I think it's four new ones. I'm getting ready to post four new ones. Including one on the mob. And one on the life of Alex Haley. Who, ironically enough, died right here. 25 or so years ago. And it's really interesting. I talked to a guy yesterday for 55 minutes about the life of Alex Haley. This coming week, I'm going to interview the country music legend, Evan Stevens. Who wrote so many great, great, great country songs. So many great tunes. Till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, I hope you have yourself a great one. And look at it this way. We got 6 or 7 games left, and soon it will be fall baseball season. After going through this, we ought to make a vow to each other that we're going to do this after every Tennessee baseball series on Sunday nights. What do you think? That's what I thought. I'll see you tonight about 8:30 on the app. Love. Every once in a while a book comes my way and I can't put it down. And in David Ritz's case, which he has written, The Life of Aretha Franklin, the book is called Respect. It is out from Little Brown and Company. And David, I've got max respect for you after reading Respect. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
I love this work because you deal with Aretha Franklin in an extremely honest way.
I tried. One great advantage I had is that I know her extremely well, and lots of times biographers do books about people who are alive and they don't really know them and they weren't able to enter their universe. But I entered Aretha's universe a long time ago and got to know her extremely well when I worked with her on her autobiography that came out in 1999. But even before that, I had gotten to know her sisters and her brother, lots of people who were close to her. In the early 90s, I had also ghostwritten the autobiography of Jerry Wexler, who was her main producer. And so that got lots of information about her. So anyway, when it came time to do my own book on her, and I began working on it about 4 years ago, I was prepared.
The day that I talked to you is the birthday of Martin Luther King, or when it's celebrated in our country, Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
There's an irony about that in that Aretha Franklin is somebody that, at the end of it all, somebody that, when we start looking at her life story, it's intertwined with the whole civil rights movement, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is, chiefly because her father, the Reverend B.L. Franklin, was a very close friend of Dr. King and an activist and an important civil rights activist in Detroit, a progressive. And, of course, he was the most important character in Aretha's life and had a huge influence on her. And so she became an activist. She became an activist just at about the time when her career took off, 1967 and 8.
What I thought was really interesting about her story, the early part of her life, because you don't hear this, is that she was a teenage mother. One would think from the outside she comes from almost a puritanical background and that her father was a minister, this and that. But that's so far from the truth in terms of her real story, which she kind of glosses over in her biography, but you don't hear. And I think you make her more human.
Well, I try to. I mean, part of the challenge in working with Aretha when she and I worked together, that she's extremely guarded and very private. And at least in my view, tended to idealize her childhood. And lots of times, it's a common thing that people who have had very difficult childhoods and challenging relationships with their mom and their dad, rather than kind of walk through the pain of it all, they tend to sort of invent an alternative version, which is, in essence, an idealization. And so when I did this book, this independent biography of her, I sort of leaned heavily on the interviews that I did with Aretha's sisters and her brother, who had a much more, at least in my view, a much more realistic account of what they went through.
mother at an early age who left Detroit and moved to Buffalo. And they were raised by their dad, who was a very conscientious dad and a very charismatic character, but also a man who had lots of women, always on the road. And because he was a traveling minister in that he had a gospel show that he took on the road with him, he used Rita, or in other words, he employed Rita as his opener. She opened these religious services, gospel shows for him, and she was subjected to the kind of very intense show business-like atmosphere that was part of the gospel world.
Yeah, from a very young age. And she was on a stage. He identified her genius. We have a way of looking at Aretha Franklin as a singer. She's a tremendous musician, though. She's a tremendous piano player. You make the point.
Right.
She's got great jazz chops. But you make a point that early on, he drags her into the world of showbiz, whether she's ready or not.
Yeah, well, and that's the other interesting thing about this story, is that, you know, the traditional story is that, like in the jazz singer, the preacher, father, the rabbi, whoever, doesn't want his child to go into the world of secular song. This is the opposite story. This is a story where Aretha's dad not only encouraged her to go into pop, but he became her first promoter and really her first manager. And encouraged her. And so that's why, artistically, she didn't have a lot of conflict.
Really interesting. David Ritz is our guest. Respect the book, The Life of Aretha Franklin, who, throughout her life, was known as a diva. We'll get into this later on. But very much those diva tendencies were identified early on. I like the account where you talk about how she has two singing sisters. And her two singing sisters, they have a little group. And one of her sisters says, well, what we'll do here is we'll trade leads. And Aretha looks at her sister and says, no, we won't. I'm the lead singer of this group. And that's how Aretha Franklin was, as a kid and into adulthood.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, both Irma and Carolyn were very talented, enormously talented vocalists in their own right. And they did have careers, and they did turn out albums. But it's kind of like the Jacksons, you know, as good as Jermaine Jackson might be, when your brother is Michael Jackson, it's a whole other deal. And Irma and Carolyn knew at an early age that as good as they were not Aretha. And really, sort of, nobody is. But she, Aretha, that is, was much more of a careerist than Irma and Carolyn, and was extremely motivated from the get-go to have a big career. And I think because she knew she was her father's favorite, I mean, there was no sort of doubt about that, and she knew at an early age she could tear up a church, that as a result she had enormous confidence as an artist. That drive to be number one and have hits never really left her. And to this day, she remains an extremely driven artist.
You know, the great irony about her career is the false start she had when she's with Columbia. They make records. You talk about how they make records that, for the times, are out of sort. They didn't know what to do with Aretha, did they?
Well, the irony there, and it's a huge irony in the history of American music, is that there she is in Detroit in the age when Motown is having all these hits, but her father looked at Motown, even though in 1960,